What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. We made it past Monday. Yeah.
Yes, we did. And even though yesterday was a very long day, because of the way our weeks got started on the wrong foot, today feels a little Monday-y, dare I say, like waking up in my own bed and doing everything for the first time, making the coffee. But it's Tuesday, so I really feel like that was sort of a great hack to end the weekend on a Monday morning. You avoid Sunday scaries, first of all, because I had an amazing Sunday. And then you also make Monday a little less daunting.
That is a fair point. There is a scent of Monday in the air on this particular Tuesday, except for the fact that I was forced to watch 2 hours of The Bachelor last night, so I know that it really is Tuesday. And of course, we are going to recap The Bachelor in our TV recap segment, because I have many, many a thought.
Many, many thoughts. Just one big minivan of a thought.
One big Loserville.
Yes,
circus.
No, I didn't know they were filming in Loserville this season.
No, me either, because I thought Nima Colin was near Pittsburgh.
The masseuse said Farmington.
Yeah, but Farmingdale, I think.
No, she said Farmington. Okay. Farmingdale's in Long Island.
Yeah, but I thought that Loserville was on the West Coast.
No, I think it's like one of those cities where there's one on the West Coast and there's one on the East Coast to make room for all the losers.
No, I'm so glad that they have that.
Yeah.
So we will get into that, but before, Jackie and I just have to deliver the past five because there's a decent amount.
No, there's... It's pretty fucking random, but there are some stories where I chose them just to get your opinion on them.
Oh, wow. I'm flattered.
Yeah. I just want to know what you think about certain things. But other than that, we've got doo-doo-doo here today, so you know it's going to be a delicious and nutritious show.
Hi, crunchy angel Dora.
Beautiful, precious Dora.
One and only Dora.
Soft skin Dora.
Love of my life, Dora.
Cutest cheeks, Dora.
Sexy body, Dora.
Flappy ears, Dora.
Oh, so flappy, Dora.
Fresh blow-dry, Dora.
Dirty feet, Dora.
Cutest paws, Dora.
Love of my life, love of my life, love of my life, Dora.
Dora.
Okay, I'm so glad we got that out of our system.
It's been a while.
I wanted
By
to
the
just...
way, can we? What's going on with his ears? Did he get? Is he using the Dyson Airwrap? They look extremely. Turn to the side.
You know, they don't hurt him.
No, I would literally use a light tap.
Yeah, you know, Allie, who's our groomer, uses a Dyson blow dryer, but she hasn't been here in a few weeks. No, we're on this hair growing journey, much like you. Theo is growing out his ears.
He is, because I see some Cavaliers on Instagram that have super floppy ears.
And it's so cute.
And it's really a cute look for them. So honestly, I've noticed a difference in this ear.
They're heavy.
Is unlike any ear we've seen before.
Yeah, thank you for noticing, because you know, Theo's been working really hard on, you know, taking his supplements, making his hair grow.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. I heard he's been using Manscaped also.
Yes, and Hum Nutrition. He just loves all the sponsors here at the Morning
Toast. He does. He wakes up every morning, he uses his brush.
Yes, and today he's using his Snow Teeth Whitening. He's just like such a supporter of us, and that's just such a beautiful thing.
That's such a beautiful thing. Well, we're glad he's here today. Like, definitely, he matches my outfit, which is like kind of a crazy outfit, don't you think?
For it's you, just, yeah. But like, it's like muted.
And also, it's like totally baggy sweats. But you know what? I'm just like feeling it.
We could switch outfits today. Like, this is just not really a me outfit. It's like so much color, and it's like a little crop sweater and like earrings, where I feel like I could wear that because it's like baggy and.
Yeah, I've just been nude. Like feeling wearing sweats on the show. Like, it's such a bleak time of year right now.
Yes.
And I feel like we're just doing everything in our power to stay above that line. But it is.
I'm really struggling.
Hard. It's hard. It is so cold. It gets dark so early. There's very, you know, we still don't have indoor dining. Like, there's just such so little joy right now.
I know. Indoor dining does come back on Sunday, which is also Valentine's Day. So
COVID is so romantic.
So thank you, Cuomo. So romantic. But I had two things to say. One, did you make it a story about David Dobrik?
No. What's he up to?
Okay. So, you know, I became obsessed with David Dobrik in quarantine, like right when he stopped vlogging, because his vlogs are like him and his friends partying, and he hasn't vlogged literally. He vlogged once during the pandemic when he partnered with like a GameStop type company to give out toys to kids who were like suffering, which was so nice. But other than that, he used to do like multiple vlogs a week. No vlogs.
Okay.
We haven't heard from him. He's still doing his podcast. Nothing.
And he's always on TikTok.
Yeah, but that's not what people like live for. They live for the vlogs, four-minute and 20-second vlogs multiple times a week. And yesterday he vlogged. And it was kind of different because his vlogs are always 4 minutes and 20 seconds. And this one was like 6 minutes, but it was showing off his new house, which, oh my God, like what did we do wrong in life? Like it is the sickest house ever. It's so nice. And he like surprised all his friends and he made his own podcast studio. He has a very popular podcast called Views. He made his own podcast studio in his house and it literally looks like a TV set. It's just like, it's so branded. It's so cute. It's like goals extreme. Like we having like a toast.
Yes.
It's so cool. And then he kind of said like he wants to get back on YouTube. So he's going to start uploading his podcast to YouTube now that they have this studio. So it kind of made it seem like, did you get the vibe that he like wasn't going to do vlogs anymore? Oh, Jillian didn't watch. Okay, never mind. I thought like you were a bigger fan than me, but I guess I'm like the biggest fan ever. I just wanted to know like what everyone thought. Like was he like resigning from the vlogdom?
It sounds like this is just a way to tide people over until he can do his vlogs again. And then probably if people like the YouTube podcast, he'll probably do both. I don't think that he would stop. I don't know him and I didn't watch this video, but I feel like vlogs, he must love doing the vlogs as much as you love watching them, but he can't be vlogging right now. So here's something.
It's also, he doesn't monetize his vlogs at all. He uses like a bunch of songs and he talks about like drinking and I think sometimes drugs. Like, so he's not, you know, content, you know, the ad council would be up in arms. But so I don't think he ever really made money from the vlogs. It was like the vlogs fueled all these other things for him. So maybe he's just like overworking on a project that like doesn't give you any money.
I don't know. It sounds like he's found a fix like that. I think the vlogs will come back. Don't worry.
I'm just curious if anyone else thought that he was like done with that. Like he said at the end, he's like, I'm going to be back, you know, with my podcast on YouTube. I got the vibe that he was like done vlogging, but someone let me know if maybe I just misinterpreted it.
Okay. Well, we love a podcast on YouTube, don't we?
Yeah. Such an original idea.
So special.
And the other thing I wanted to tell you about was I've been on this journey for the last like day, renewing and rejuvenating my bed. And I always say I'm going to do it and I never do. And what I end up doing is buying the same sheets just like in a new color. And it's like, no, I needed a whole new journey. So I got brand new pillows, a brand new down comforter, and I got a brand new sheet set duvet cover. And it's life changing. I also finally bought a Barefoot Dreams blanket, even though they're just like so expensive. It's like so stupid, but still I just did it.
I need a blanket like that. I have one coming to me and I'm really excited. It's
Barefoot Dreams.
No, but it looks similar.
Okay, well,
Barefoot Dreams.
Barefoot Dreams. I always go on the website and I almost get it, but it's just like $150 for a blanket when like they sell amazing ones at Target. Like it's just so stupid.
And it's like, can you put it in the washing machine? Otherwise unclear. It's gonna smell in a few weeks.
That's so true.
You know, blankets get really smelly.
But Lauren Elizabeth convinced me. She's like, yeah, I have like four. I'm like, oh my God, I don't even have one. So I got one and I'm really excited about it. But I slept last night the best I've slept. If I didn't have to wake up to an alarm, like it was the deepest sleep ever. And I don't know if maybe I was just like really tired, but I have a feeling it had something to do with the sheets because I also took a nap at 5 o'clock. I couldn't keep my eyes open. So not only has this bed given me a nap, which I'm so appreciative of, it also gave me an amazing sleep. And I'm just not sure like who to thank. Well, I think I need to thank Allied Home and Bedding. Fabulous duvet cover.
I think you also need to thank just the way our day went yesterday because I woke up so early to get back in time.
Yeah.
And I was struggling to keep my eyes open during The Bachelor. After The Bachelor, I read a little and then I went to sleep about like 10:45. I slept incredibly. All week last week, I was going to bed at midnight. It was taking me over an hour to fall asleep. Yeah. And I was waking up like dead.
Same. Truly. No, same.
Last night, I slept so amazingly because I like reset my sleep schedule and I set my alarm for 8:45, but I was like a little up before it. Zach's alarm was going off at 7:30, so like I didn't struggle to wake up. And I think, I'm sure your new bedding was wonderful, but also because we woke up so early yesterday, we were just primed for a great night's sleep.
Those nights where you just like cannot fall asleep, like seriously, someone just shoot me. Like it's so unenjoyable. I would literally rather be dead.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying.
Not to be dramatic. It's
pretty annoying, but I'm trying now to, well, first of all, I set up on my phone, like in my alarms, I set up daily alarm to wake up the same time every day. I always turn on a new alarm every single day.
Oh no, you have to go to the health app.
Yes, and now I just synced it with my health app where I told them like how many hours of sleep I want to get a night, when you should wind down my phone.
And when you should put on Do Not Disturb. My phone at 11:25 goes on Do Not Disturb.
Yes.
And then the alarm, Ben taught me this, and people don't know it. Don't use the alarm feature. Use the sleep feature in the health app. The chimes that they wake you up with are so much more civilized than the rah, rah. It's so peaceful and beautiful.
Yeah, that's what I finally set up last night. And so I feel like I'm on a new sleep journey. Day one was a success.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think
without further ado, considering we're so rested and feeling fabulous.
No, but I really am.
No, like I feel pretty good. No, like, as far as mornings go.
Yeah, as good as it's going to get. Like, let's be real.
Without further ado, though, it is time for the past five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And before we start, I actually have a quick message from Theo, because he said he would be remiss. No. He would be devastated. He said, Mom, I would even be heartbroken.
No.
If you didn't tell all the folks over at the Morning Toast about snow, because I told you Theo's been obsessed with whitening his teeth.
Oh my God.
No, I'm kidding. This is for humans, you guys, and it is for humans with sensitive teeth. So actually, Jackie and I both struggle from sensitive teeth. Jackie so much so she has like a special toothpaste. And you know, if you have sensitive teeth, like teeth whitening is not really a great
option.
They
don't always go hand in hand.
Oh my God.
Until snow.
And you know, when you like get that sensitive and you like feel that little shock go like from your gums to your brain, it's the worst. So snow is the first teeth whitening kit that is directly for people with sensitive teeth. You can see initial results just after 3 days, and it's designed to be pain-free for people with sensitive teeth. Over $1 million in research and development has been used to create the strongest teeth whitening kit possible. The kit comes with a 6-month supply of whitening serum, so anytime your smile needs a touch-up, you're good to go. And there's so many great things about having a white smile. It gives you more confidence, you're walking into a job interview. It's just something that makes you feel good about yourself, so why not try? And if you've not been doing it because of sensitive teeth, snow is here for you now. So if you're the type of person who like cringes when you see someone bite into a popsicle, which is like a sociopathic thing to do,
completely,
then you might have sensitive teeth. So if you want to try snow, trysnow.com is the website, and you can use the code TOAST for 15% off your first order. Again, that's trysnow.com. TOAST is the code for 15% off your first order. If you have sensitive teeth like us, you need to try trysnow.com right now and use our code TOAST for 15% off. It's pretty much everything of the sort, and that's all you need to know.
And that's that on that. Okay, first story, everyone, dismantle your ships. Ashley Benson and G-Eazy have broken up after nearly 1 year together.
My ship, like, was never intact. I did not even lift a finger for the ship. Love and respect to Ashley Benson. G-Eazy, from what I've heard about him, is a piece of shit, like, monster. Don't fuck with him at all.
You've heard, that's what you've heard?
Well, I listened to Halsey's song.
Oh, that's true. And
you're not half the man you think that you are. That one.
Yeah.
You can't fill the hole inside of you with money, drugs, and cars.
I'm so glad I never ever had a baby with you. And now she's having a baby.
You can't love you
unless there's something in it for you. Oh, I feel so sad. I feel so sad. I tried to help you. Just made you mad.
So yeah,
and I had no warning. She had no warning
about who you are. Like, that's all I need to know about G-Eazy. I know
that's
he's toxic.
So true. It's like I listen to that song all the time, especially when I work out. Like, it's such a great workout.
It's powerful.
Song. And I had no idea that I was the man that like.
No, that's
I was
how people.
About
she really exposed him, like, as like the piece of shit that he was in that song, and also in her SNL performance, and then she found out he cheated on him. That was a really dark relationship. And then, do you remember the night that Demi Lovato relapsed and there were those paparazzi pictures of her and G-Eazy? Like, he just gives me such a bad vibe. Like, he's not, you know, looking out for his girlfriend's best interests ever. So I think Ashley Benson's a queen. I still am hoping her and Cara Delevingne are gonna get back together. G-Eazy was not it for me, for her.
Great, okay, well, I feel good about this news then. And also, it must be kind of a weird feeling, but also kind of nice for Ashley Benson. Like, now she has all of these breakup songs she can listen to that are literally about the man that she's broken up from. Like, yeah. I would go, like, most people listen to You Should Be Sad and they, like, envision their ex, but it's like, no, this was written for this man. And someone else put all the words to a song and I can just sing along to it.
I hope that Halsey and Ashley Benson find their way to each other and can, you know, heal together. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
But Halsey's now, and also weirdly in David Dobrik's blog, Halsey was at the very end of it because I guess she's the next guest on the podcast. She was like sitting in his studio with her pregnant belly and she actually looked really, really cute. I forget where my thought was going, but all I was going to say was that I like Halsey.
Nice. Well.
Nice.
Nice. I mean.
What's that like?
Yeah, no, I didn't have like opinions on this story really before. I love Halsey. But I'm just talking about Ashley and Jeezy while I wrap it up because we have some happy couple news. Then they're so happy. Some HCN. These couples are so happy. These couples are so happy that they're getting tattoos for one another.
Oh, the Musas?
The Musas?
The El Musas. I saw this and I have many a thought.
Okay, there's two couples who are getting tattoos. Oh. But we'll start with Heather Rae Young and Tariq Al Musa. She got a tattoo on her butt cheek that says, quote, "Yes, sir, Mr. Al Musa." She posted it on Instagram saying, "Happy Valentine's Day, Mr. Al Musa. I love you, handsome. Best friends forever."
I think we should unpack this.
Okay.
Let's start at the top, you know, just for the first layer. Like, the thought. What are your thoughts on couples who get, you know, tattoos of one another?
I mean, I'm not crazy about it. I think that when you're together for a long enough time, I think it's a really sweet thing to do. But in general, we're always reading about couple removes tattoo after they've broken up. So I think it's, you know, it's a gamble.
Yeah.
But so is love, you know?
No, I know. But like in the beginning, I just feel like it really doesn't bode well. Like, remember when Ariana got a tattoo of Pete on her foot or something?
Yeah. And he got her ear, bunny ears.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah. So I just feel like I agree. At some point in a relationship, like, you've been together for so long, like, this is real. Okay, get a tattoo. But, like, they're not married yet. They've really only been together for, like, 2 years. It's a celebrity relationship. Like, it's just, at this stage, I think getting a tattoo is, like, a weird thing to do.
Yeah. But I also think that, like, there have never been two people better suited for each other.
I couldn't agree more.
Than Heather Rae Young and Tariq Al Musa.
I could not agree more. Except, even though Heather's not my favorite on the show, I do worry because there was like that whole scandal with Tariq like taking the guns from the house and like running into the mountains. And there was like a helicopter chasing him. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And that's when him and Christina got divorced.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that version of Tariq exists, but I'm hoping we don't see him again for Heather's sake.
Yeah.
But now the second layer I want to unpack is like the tattoo itself. It's like this subservient, like, kind of 50 Shades, like,
read for it sure. Again. It says, "Yes, sir, comma. You love a comma." If you got a tattoo.
I do love, I would be, my tattoo would just be a comma. And that's, like, symbolic how I never have enough to say, you know? There's always like, more.
There's always more to the story.
Yes. Obviously, that's kind of sickening.
Stunning.
Where should I get it? Like, above my belly button?
Well, yeah.
Or, like, between my titties. Like, one big-ass comma.
Titty?
It's like, titty, comma, titty. I like that. Yes.
If anybody's looking for new tattoo ideas, might we suggest a comma?
Yeah, no, it's like beautiful.
It is beautiful. And Heather thinks so too.
Oh, right. So let's talk about the contents.
Yes, sir, comma, Mr. Al Musa.
So to me, like, this just adds another level of like loseriness and things I would never do because that just is like a really weird, and I'm sure maybe it's an inside joke, but to us, it's like you're subservient to Tariq.
Yeah, I'm reading it in a weird way, but it's like, yes, sir, Mr. Al Musa.
You know? But now you sound like a butler. Like, will there be anything else, Mr. Al Musa?
Should I get that on the other cheek?
Oh, my God, that's so funny. No, but it also is like a weird phrase. Yes, sir, Mr. Al Musa, is that it?
Yeah. And maybe it's an inside joke between the two of them, in which case maybe explain it when you post it on Instagram to like your millions of followers.
Yeah, because now we're just thinking you're the hired help. And you're taking your job, like, really seriously.
Every time he asks for something, she
yes, sir, Mr. Al Musa. They're just, like, such a thirsty couple. And this is just, like, something I didn't see coming from them. But, like, I'm not in the least surprised.
Not
like,
in the least.
Christine really said it best when she was, like, they call the paparazzi on themselves. And she's right. Like, they are the thirstiest. And you know what? If you marry someone who has the same level of thirst as you, I think that actually makes her an extremely healthy relationship.
That's what I'm saying, like, about the two of them. Like, obviously, most people, like, this is not for most people, any of it. But it's for both of them. And I think that makes them a good match.
Yeah. And, you know, like, whenever I think of Tariq, I always think of Christina, obviously, his ex-wife, who, like, got married, like a second after they got divorced, and then like a second later got divorced again from this guy, Aunt Anstead. And I just like wonder. Is it?
It's Aunt Anstead.
Is it Auntie Sneeches Anstead?
Yes, it's Auntie Anstead.
They're just like the weirdest family. Like, they're just messy as hell. Yeah. But I do think like him and Heather have like a little bit of a sense of stability, which is good.
Yeah, which is good. And I hope that Selling Sunset comes back soon and that. Yes. I think he's just like maybe going to film a little bit.
Oh, I also saw a tweet. I know a lot of people were wondering. Davina's $75 million listing is still for sale. So it has not sold.
Still for sale.
Wait, wow. Was it $100 million?
No, I think it was below 100.
Because it's
I think
75
it was like
now.
80 and they wanted to put it up for like right. way less.
It's 75 now.
Okay. You would think it would sell because, you know, it's
the
a
press from the show.
It's and a it was buyer's beautiful. Market right now.
Right, right. I wish I had a home to sell. Like,
yeah. Okay. Our other couple, happy couple news that's getting tattoos. I don't even know if you knew these two were dating. Madsen, who you know because...
Of course, is dating Avril Lavigne.
He's dating Avril
I only
Lavigne.
Know who Madsen is because I follow Tanamojo.
Yes. And Madsen, Tanamojo... Bella Thorne. Were they?
It was like Bella dated Madsen and Tana did.
Dated Bella and then Tana dated Madsen. And if you ever watched House of DBF, Madsen also dated Barbie Beth first.
Oh, someone from House of DBF?
Yeah, she won.
That's weird.
No, she's like everything of the sort.
Okay.
Yeah. But he and rumored girlfriend Avril Lavigne, he got her name tattooed on his neck.
People just need to stop doing this. Like, you know, what's the definition of insanity when you do the same thing over and over? It's like you see all these people, all these celebrities. On my TikTok For You page, literally, I somehow ended up on like tattoo removal TikTok where they show time-lapse videos of people get it. And it's so painful.
Yeah.
Victoria Fuller just went on Instagram.
I know, I was watching hers.
And I'm like curious what the story is behind that tattoo. But it's like, when will we learn?
I know.
And of course, I would say one in probably 10 people who get tattoos of their boyfriends or girlfriends end up forever with the person.
That's, I would say probably the odds are more than that. We're just always talking about celebrities. And these celebrity relationships are fickle and fleeting.
Yeah, Jax, remember when he got Stassi's signature?
Like, yes.
There's so many examples. We need to learn from those who came before us.
We do. But TMZ caught Avril Lavigne in West Hollywood on Thursday, and Madsen was sporting a new Avril tattoo on the back of his neck where the A in Avril is the anarchist symbol. The pair have been working together in the studio, recently releasing Flames, a song.
Oh, a song that I listened to.
My paragraphs got mixed. I thought it said a song about the back of his neck.
I listened to that song, Flames, because, you know, Ben, like, loves Avril Lavigne. Yeah. And it was, like, really not good. And I expected more from, like, this punk duo.
Yeah, I feel like it would be good.
And I feel like they actually would make, like, an interesting couple based on their punk roots. But the song was just not it.
Damn. Well, also, just a reminder, Avril Lavigne was married to Sum 41 singer Derek Wibley in 2006. She dated Brody Jenner from 2010 to 2012. And then she married Nickelback singer
yes.
Chad. Why can't I read today?
I don't know.
Chad Kroeger in 2013, which ended in divorce. And I just have to say, I think she has really great taste in men. Like, I love Nickelback, first of all.
I love Nickelback.
Justice for Nickelback.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that was a great marriage. Like, it had great potential. It was
well,
like
clearly not, but.
Well, whatever. Even as a moment in time, it was this, like, punk rock royalty.
Agreed. And I also really like Sum 41. And, of course, we love Brody Jenner. So yeah. I just feel like she has good taste. And Madsen is, like, the bachelor of
the punk rock world.
No, and also of just LA. Like, he's always really dating such eligible women. And yeah. I feel like he must, like, be, you know.
Great in bed.
Or, like, a good boyfriend. Like.
Yeah.
You know.
I just like had forgotten, and maybe if you hadn't reminded me, I never would have remembered that Avril Lavigne was married to the lead singer of Nickelback. And I just like, I wish we could go back to times like that. Like, so simple, you know, where people who are meant to be together just were together.
She also most recently dated billionaire Philip Seraphim for 1 year.
What does he do?
Just billionaire.
Oh, jealous. I wish I could get that job.
No, totally. So I think things
she's doing just fine.
She's fine. She actually seems fine. And I just had one more thing to say about the two of them, but I forget.
Okay,
must have been important.
Maybe it was your RDH. You know, memory loss is a symptom.
Yeah.
So allow me. Maybe Please. This will make you feel better. Wingardium Leviosa. Today's episode is brought to you by Stamps.com. Let's face it, taking trips to the post office is probably not how you want to spend your time. That's why we recommend mailing and shipping online at Stamps.com. Stamps.com allows you to mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and pay a lot less with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Stamps.com has saved businesses thousands of hours and tons of money. Because with Stamps.com, you get the service of the post office and UPS all in one place, plus big discounts on mailing and shipping rates. Stamps.com is a must-have for any person or business, whether you're a small office sending out invoices, an online seller shipping out orders, or even a giant warehouse sending out thousands of packages a day. Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. You use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. And once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. It's that simple. And with Stamps.com, you get discounts up to 40% off post office rates and up to 62% off UPS shipping rates. Not to mention, Stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder nearly a million small businesses already use Stamps.com. Stop wasting time to the post, going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and with our promo code TOAST, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a digital scale. There's no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TOAST. That's Stamps.com, promo code TOAST. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again.
Ugh. Please. Words to live by. Okay, next up, a little ratings news. Okay. Super Bowl LV ratings are in, and they're a disappointment. Yep, Super Bowl ratings brought in average about 96.4 million viewers across TV and streaming, according to CBS. That number is down from last year's Super Bowl, which averaged roughly 102 million viewers.
Oh, that is down.
That is down, and you would think, I mean, it's weird. You would think they'd be up because everyone's home with nothing to do. Let's all watch the Super right. Bowl. There's no distractions. But on the other hand, it's just been like a weird year for football, and it kind of felt like a little bit like a fake Super Bowl.
There was something like weird about it.
Yeah. So, and maybe it was the portrait mode. I don't know. That might have turned some viewers.
I mean, it turned me off completely.
I think it's an interesting factoid.
Yeah. No, I do find it shocking. Right. Like, given the fact that we're in a pandemic, like, there's literally nothing to do. It's not like people are so busy doing other things. And I also feel like it was an interesting Super Bowl. Like, obviously, Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes. It was like a narrative there. Also, it was like the first time a team has played in their hometown during the Super Bowl. Like, it was an interesting
premise.
Above average interesting premise for a Super Bowl, so I actually really do find this shocking.
Yeah, but CNN Business also says it's not a total shock that the ratings declined from last year because the game was never really competitive. Like, are they saying that it wasn't...
Oh, like it was a bad game.
The game itself, but also we were like hyping it up like these two teams are so equal, but maybe like the Chiefs never stood a chance.
But the Vegas odds had Chiefs winning.
They did?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I know. I was really shocked when I opened my sportsbook app when I was being a degenerate gambler in Pennsylvania.
Interesting.
Yeah. They were plus three or something, or minus three. I don't know. But
I mean, but what's really crazy is like 96 million people. That's still so many people. Like The Bachelor is like 2 million people.
No, I know The Bachelor is like 5 million and The Housewives are like 2 million.
Yeah.
No, I always find ratings so interesting. And I remember sitting here when we once did, I mean, I think maybe it was even last Super Bowl. We did like we were comparing ratings from other things. And like the royal wedding of Kate and William was like the most watched ever. And that was like 2 billion.
No.
Yeah, because it was shown everywhere. That's not crazy. Just America or the UK.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's nice that people still like watch TV because like cable is a dying thing. So like 100 million people, like that's a lot.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many people like watch the Grammys. I feel like maybe like 8 million.
Maybe.
It's so
tough.
We'll
find out soon. Are the Grammys happening?
They pushed him back to March.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Or was that the Oscars?
I think it was the Grammys.
I can't keep up with all these TV shows.
I think it was the Grammys. Okay, next story. A little real estate exciting news.
A little real estate exciting news. Reen?
Yes.
Holy shit. I'm so excited.
The $15 million Schitt's Creek mega mansion is up for sale, and it is magnificent.
You know, I saw this story, and I was confused, because in the pilot of Schitt's Creek, they show the house from the outside, and it's Lisa Vanderpump's house. Do you know that?
No.
Her old house, like when she first got on Housewives.
Oh, my God. I love that house.
But then the inside is obviously like a set, and this is the I mean, it's a different house, and this is the one for sale. Because when I saw it, I'm like, Lisa Vanderpump already sold her house.
Got it. Well, it's known as the LaBelle Mansion. The home holds 12 bedrooms and 16 bathrooms, spanning a massive 24,000 square feet. It hit the market on January 27th. The photos are sickening. And you
pretty much?
How much? $15 million. And it's in Toronto. It's in Toronto's upscale St. Andrews Winfields neighborhood.
Oh, gotta get there. I don't know why. I thought it would be more.
Yeah.
I mean, if the house was in LA, it would be like 30.
It's also on 0.55 acre property, less than an acre. That's small. That does seem small.
Maybe the house, maybe that's why they didn't
use that can't be right. That looks like the house is on an acre for sure.
That's beautiful.
Stunning, sickening.
God, but speaking of Toronto, I did a virtual book thing last night with the JCC Toronto. Mm. It's fabulous, fabulous.
What happened?
I just was talking, spilling tea, looking at my hair. I cannot get my hair under control, you know. But it was fabulous, and I just want to say thanks to everyone who joined.
That sounds so fun. Where was my invite?
Or was it an author thing?
Only for... No, I could be in the audience.
Oh, would you have wanted to?
I don't know. I could come see.
Okay. I didn't want to bother you.
It's been a while since we talked about the book, so I feel like I'm having, withdrawal.
So frustrating having withdrawal. But I think you're right. I think we should talk about it.
Let's talk about it. How are things going? It's been a few days since your New York Times bestseller. Yeah. How has your life changed?
I have this intellectual superiority over every person I come by, mm-hmm. which is nice because I've always felt dumber than other people. So it's just been good for my self-confidence, good for my Instagram bio.
Your confidence was really suffering.
Yeah, no, I've always kind of been kind of introverted and shy.
Yeah.
And I feel like this was kind of the thing I needed to get out of my shell. So it feels really good to just be outspoken and be proud of myself. And I don't know, people are just still loving the book. I thought by now, everyone would be burning them and they're done with them. But you can't burn the Bible, so.
Oh, that's really awesome. Speaking of your book, we're actually recording a Patreon episode that's going to drop this week for Patreon. But it is all of questions from patrons and people who read the book about the book. We did, obviously, the Redheads Book Club episode where Claudia sat down and answered questions, but we still had so many more questions and also a lot of questions that were very either specific or detailed or is this, you said this happened, mm-hmm. Tell us more about that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into that with you. And I'm actually really excited to go back into the book world because the book was such a big part of our last few months. And now, where is she?
Inside the author's studio. She's literally right here and she's available at girlwithnojob.com/book. Thank you.
It's hard to remember, but if you just remember B and then OOK.
And it helps if you say it phonetically. Book.
It does help. Okay, our fifth and final story is one I wanted to get your opinion on as well. Claire Crawley dyes her hair pink after Dale Moss split.
That you've said that crazy. Claire Crawley dyes her hair pink. That would have been major news.
Stop, I didn't say that.
You did. Okay, she dyed her hair pink.
She's dyed her hair pink. Have you not seen this?
No, I mean, could she be more cliche? It's so... I stopped feeling bad for her.
She said, I've been wanting to have some fun and temporarily, in parentheses, change up my hair for some time now with a fun color. So I did it. Rather than reaching for permanent dye, she transformed her blonde locks using a color that is...
temporary. Yeah, cool. She's
I actually feel what's the only thing worse than dyeing your hair pink can be really fun. I mean, to do it during a breakup, that is so cliche. And right. I feel I don't know if that's the answer, but then it's also temporary. So it's this is a news story for something that's going to be in for 3 days.
Yeah, no, it's literally a spray from Dwayne Reed.
Yeah, I feel like I've been played.
No, you have been played. I didn't even see this, but just Claire, in my opinion, has been... Amongst, other things, her chaotic energy. She's always just been a cliche romantic. And this is really just, at least she's consistent. I would expect nothing less from her than to be crazy and dye her hair pink.
Yeah, no, she definitely has is looking at the breakup handbook and following each step.
Yeah, post an emotional quote, dye your hair pink.
Or not even dye your hair pink, bring her out some change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was more general and she took it as I should dye my hair.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, speaking of Claire, we can get into our TV recap.
Yes.
Which is brought to you by Fashion Pass.
Oh,
which is
Fashion Pass. You guys see the little hearts that they sent me yesterday?
Yes, so cute.
So cute. I have a whole display. I love Fashion Pass so much, and I'm so glad that you're about to tell everyone about it, because everyone needs to know about Fashion Pass.
Yeah, can I do that?
No, because I want to keep talking.
Here, please.
Oh my gosh.
Go for it.
I love, okay.
Also, it's very appropriate that the TV recap is brought to you by Fashion Pass, because all the girls on The Bachelor definitely used Fashion Pass.
No, 100%. And I have this jacket from Fashion Pass that I saw Sarah wearing on her date, and she got it from Fashion Pass. Fashion Pass is a clothing rental service that I actually heard about from my sisters. It's Rent the One Ray.
Do you want me to do it?
It's also easier to say than Rent the Runway. It's Rent the Runway meets Revolve. You can revolve the runway. They have great brands like For Love and Lemons, Free People, Show Me Your Moomoo. I was wearing Show Me Your Moomoo on the show yesterday. It's the Revolve of rental services. I hate spending $200 on a jacket or
per
a dress.
Per item. It's so
per
stupid.
Per item on a dress that I'll probably only wear once. You take wear, a gram, repeat. With Fashion Pass, not only do you not have to take up the space in your closet for these items that you're probably wearing once, you can get them at a fraction of the price. The shipping is super fast and they take care of the dry cleaning and everything for you. So you literally just send it back in the pre-labeled bag they give you when you're done, and then you get to choose new items. One of my favorite parts about it is that if you love something and you want to keep it, you get huge discounts, anywhere between 30 and 60% off. Yeah, no, I'm so crazy. Like, pretty much everything that I get, I want to keep.
Yeah, of course. So it's also just a great place to shop even after you return.
100%. This is way better option than shopping constantly, and it's sustainable. We have an amazing discount code for you today. Listen up. This is the best deal that Fashion Pass has ever offered. If you go to thefashionpass.com and use code TOAST at checkout, you'll get $50 off your first month so you can try it for literally $29. That's thefashionpass.com. Use code TOAST. Get $50 off your first month. I absolutely love Fashion Pass. Claudia and I were just talking about how we want to like switch up our wardrobe, shop a little, and Fashion Pass is the place to go to do that. Okay. That I do.
You did great. Thanks. It's not as easy as I make it look. Would you agree?
I would agree. And also, like, I don't know why I'm choosing to read more things on a day when I just You're can't having read. Trouble. I'm having trouble.
Okay, let's talk about The Bachelor. Last night's episode started with the two-on-one, and thankfully justice was served. I said to myself, and I think maybe I even said this last week, if Matt chooses MJ, like, I am done with this season. Because, like, even though it's, like, he's a nice guy and he's, like, sweet and boring, like, don't be a pushover. Like, don't be dumb.
Yeah.
And in the end, he did the right thing. I thought Yesenia handled herself with elegance and class up the ass.
100%.
Then we get back to the house and...
Well, there's no rose ceremony and right. Everyone's like so bent out of shape. And what I don't understand is the girls who got roses, then the next day they're back at the house and like Serena C is so upset that they didn't have time at the cocktail party. But it's like, you got a rose. What's to be upset about? Maybe if you had had time with him, you wouldn't have gotten a rose.
Yeah. And I think we should dedicate a lot of time to talking about Serena C, because I dipped my toe in the Serena C pond last week. And I just want to say I was 100% right. Mm-hmm. Serena C should be thanking her lucky stars that she didn't get thrown into the MJ and Anna. What's her name? Anna?
Anna.
Mean girl.
And Victoria.
Victoria. She was one of them. They were literally a foursome. And someone forgot to mention her to Matt. And she got so fucking lucky. And not only has she not changed her behavior, she's digging in. Her conversation with Katie was asinine. Like,
asinine.
She's so wrong. She's so mean. And even though I don't, like, love Katie, and there's, like, this campaign to make her the next Bachelorette, she was 100% right in everything.
No, last night was the most I've ever liked Katie. I've liked her throughout, just like for clearly standing up for what's right and like really not taking shit from the other girls. But when Serena C like came at her with this nonsense, I really appreciated that she just put her in her place.
And not only that, when Serena went downstairs to like retell the girls what happened, Katie followed her down. She's like, well, what did you say? Well, I told them that you're like really not here for Matt, and that like you said that you're here for the drama. And she's like, what are you talking about? Serena was being so losery last night. She was making me so mad, especially when like, girl, have some self-awareness. Like, you should be so grateful that you didn't get sent home for being a bully, and like that is your legacy, right? Like the other girls, because it should have been you. I remember like thinking, I'm like, why is Serena C being such a bitch to everyone, like when the bitchiness was happening? So she was one of them. She didn't get in trouble, and she didn't backtrack. She dug in even more.
Yeah, not the way she was
bothering
you
so much.
She was bothering me a lot. I saw a funny tweet that was like, now with MJ gone, Victoria's spirit has entered a new host.
Yes, literally.
Literally.
So then the first one-on-one went to
Piper.
Oh yeah, that was such a fun date, by the way. Like, my dream, like carnival, no lines. It looked so fun. And I didn't realize until last week when he ran over to her and gave her a kiss, like, he's really into her.
Yeah.
So I do think she goes really far. She's really pretty. I really like her. That date
and
was so nice.
She's really into him. There's been a lot of like rose ceremonies where she's like doing the narration of being so upset if she doesn't get a rose, like constantly wanting more time. I think that they have a really good connection and they're just struggling to find time. So it was nice to see them get that last night.
Agreed. And that date just looked like so much fun and like a perfect COVID date. And then comparing it to the other one-on-one that Katie got, where like they were hanging out with Tyler C, which was obviously like funny, but like not really fair. Like, I would have liked much preferred to have gone to Piper's date.
Yeah, I also felt like, even though it's not fair and not romantic, it was actually really funny. I was laughing really hard.
Me too.
And I think Katie was like the perfect person to do that with.
Yeah, but she was like friend zoned because of it.
Yes, she was. And I was kind of annoyed because I felt like I could feel that she was probably going to go home on this date.
Yes.
Because it's like she came here, she served her purpose, and it's hard to get out of that like snitch box.
No, that justice box.
Yeah, it's the like, and in a good way. Like, but she has been sort of like the informant so far, and it's hard for the informant to be
in love. Yeah,
right. So I realized she was going to have a hard time. But when they went to dinner, I thought that she was being like so cute,
perfect,
saying all of the right things, and it was like Matt was not interested in hearing them.
No, I know. I was actually
she did nothing wrong. Not that you have to do something wrong to go home, but sometimes the person's awkward. There's not a lot to say. I thought she said everything like so well. And he just kind of maybe brushed it off. Send her home. And I also felt like up until that point, he didn't know how to send someone home on a one-on-one. But after like hanging with Tyler C, like maybe he asked him like, what do I say if I want to send someone home on a date?
Right. So that was my thing. I think that Matt has been on one-on-ones with so many girls who I don't think are winners and who I don't think he's even into. And he just always gives a rose because he's a nice guy, and that makes him kind of boring. And I was just kind of annoyed that he like decided to like find his balls on Katie, who was like really doing her best and is such a nice girl. And she's like so sex positive and everyone loves her. Like, I was like, why did you decide to do this now? Like, do it on someone I hate.
100%. I just liked everything that she was saying. She was being like realistic and saying like new things about falling in. You know,
wasn't the same like bachelor vernacular.
Yes, I was really appreciating it. Oh. I felt like he went into the dinner wanting to send her home just because like
it was time.
But like, it's a lot of other people's time and they don't get sent home.
Yeah. And I was mostly upset that Katie went home because Serena like thought she won.
I know.
But like, if Serena doesn't go home in the next rose ceremony, like, I will cry.
I know.
We have two more things to talk about. Let's first do the group date before we talk about the minivan extravaganza. The group date was bowling. He split them up into teams and then decided to let the other team win. Like, Matt is actually really starting to bother me. Like, be decisive. Be decisive.
I wonder why.
And by the way, if the other team had won, he would not have brought this team. Well, I think more of the girls that he really likes were on the losing team.
I agree. But then it's like he could have made that decision in the moment. No, you're all winners. We'll all go. I think that they tried to like stick to the plan because they keep doing that. They keep saying losers aren't coming and then losers wind up coming.
Yeah.
So I think they stuck with the four. I think nothing was happening. I think he had talked with all of them on the group date. There was like nothing that stood out to him.
Yeah.
There was nothing for the producers to share with us.
Yeah.
And so they brought in the other girls for the content, honestly.
Right. But also, Matt, like, Rachel was on that team. Brie was on that team. I think he was more into the girls on that team.
Yes, I think so too.
We have to also talk about Rachel because, like, all this stuff is coming out about her. And, like, I actually really feel like she wins.
I feel like she wins.
And I don't know how we reconcile that where there's just like all these photos coming out of her and like Instagram posts that are just like not good. And I don't know how, like, this has happened before, kind of similar to Garrett, but Garrett was like liking memes that were offensive. It's not really the same at all. But I don't know how if she is the winner, and she's just for the last few weeks like really and I don't know anything really given me winner vibes.
Yeah, she's at least top two. Four.
Yeah. So I don't know how we reconcile that. And I'm just kind of interested to see how that plays itself out.
If she's the winner, and I have to see the stuff, but it will be on...
It's all on like Reddit and stuff.
It will be on like her and Matt to navigate together.
Yeah, but they did do a segment on After the Final Rose about Garrett. I don't know if they're doing After the Final Rose things because of COVID, but
I think it would be like the same thing.
Yeah. That would just be crazy. Like, I hope... Like, honestly, I don't know. It's just crazy.
But she also might not win.
Right. Well, I still, like, I'm so delusional. Like, I still think that Brie's going to win. But, like, she literally hasn't spoken to Matt in 5 weeks.
No, I know. And I was getting really... What's so weird is, like, the girls are really upset and frustrated that they get no time with him. And, like, they're talking in their interviews, like, about how the process is so difficult and we don't get time with Matt. And, like, they're talking to the people who do the process, right, complaining about the process.
Yeah.
And it's as if it's, like, just the universe that makes them not have time.
You're so right. You know
what I mean?
You're so right.
And what's really upsetting is watching Abigail, who got the first impression rose, who still hasn't had a one-on-one, where it's, like, I know that the producers probably choose, 90% of how things are going to go, but like Matt does have say, and like if you had this amazing connection with her night one, like where's her one-on-one?
To be honest, I didn't really get the vibe that he had this amazing connection with her on night one. I think he was really impressed with how open she was and how the conversation, like, I don't think it was a connection thing. I think he just really respected her story and her being so vocal on night one. I think it was more like props to you than like, I love you. That was the vibe that I got.
Right. But
because he literally hasn't spoken to her since
then.
It's
a gesture
yeah.
of romance.
Yeah. But it's also on television and you want to do the right thing. And I think that like of all the girls, Abigail definitely made the biggest impact, especially with me. Like I just thought the way she spoke about her story.
But still, why can't she have a date for Matt to see if no, of okay, course. I'm so impressed by you as a person. Is there a love connection there?
Yeah.
Instead of like making her suffer for so many weeks. It's so sad. That always happens to the girl who like gets the first impression rose. Like I remember Hannah G never got a one-on-one.
Yeah.
What the hell?
No,
the,
you're right.
The lead said, I'm into you.
Yeah. And the pinnacle of last night's episode was Heather Martin from Colton's season rolling up in a minivan, not once, not twice, but three times, being forced to quarantine and still hasn't even met Matt. She's making all the... Okay, so like there was so much to unpack. Let's start first. She rolls up in a minivan.
Yeah.
And... no shade towards minivans at all. It's just like it's a questionable choice in car, seeing as that was really more for like an older, you know, mom or father of three heading to soccer practice.
100%.
It's just a very interesting, you don't think of it as a young reality star like Matt's driving around in G-Wagons and Corvettes and Porsches and like Heather's rolling up in like a white Dodge Caravan. It's 100%. Confusing.
I personally love a minivan. Like
so
love
spacious.
To be in one. Like I love everything about them. That was just not the time and place. There's a time and place.
There is. And, you know, I even feel weird, like, when Bronwyn drives her minivan, but she has seven kids, so, like, it actually makes sense. But Bronwyn is, like, this fabulous, young, hot, like, thing, and it just, it doesn't fit. And so with Heather, it didn't fit.
Minivans are hysterical. I'm, like, thinking about them, like, really, like, in depth.
Everyone
right now.
Is. The minivan was the star of the episode.
No, the minivan was the star of the episode, but, like, just minivan life. Because, like, you could have a lot going on in your car and not drive a minivan, but, like,
yeah.
But the minivan is so functional.
No, I mean, who wouldn't want a minivan? So much space.
Like, am I going to drive a minivan one day?
I hope so. You should be so lucky.
I should only be so lucky.
So then she rolls up and says, hi, I'm Heather Martin, and can I speak to Chris Harrison? And Chris Harrison's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he obviously has to talk to some people, so she has to quarantine in the meantime. And they just gave her this, like, wholly unnecessary airtime of her, like, trying to be cute and quirky in this hotel room, like, putting pizza boxes on her head and, like, I'm Rapunzel, Matt, climb up. Like, oh, my God, she was just trying so hard. And let me get this straight. There is a way to bust in on a season that's not yours. There is a way to do it. Becca Tilly could tell you how. She did it very gracefully on night one, humbled herself and joined the other women. This is like the most beastly way to do it. And I just think that Heather, when she was recording her videos, like was really giving me New York vibes. Like somebody lied to her several times because she was acting like she was like this funny, hilarious, like girl. And I just found her to be so unbelievably irritating. And I'm curious if that was just me.
It wasn't just you.
Because somebody lied to her several times.
Yeah, but like she also seems kind of awkward, but I just didn't understand. Like she put the pizza box on her head. And then
let's dive into that. Let's dive into that.
What's that called? Mashed potatoes?
Dance where, move. Like when you crisscross. Yeah.
She put the pizza box. She put the pizza box on her head.
No, it was such an
she
interesting
was
choice.
She mashed potatoes.
Yeah. And the pizza.
With the pizza.
Yeah.
The pizza actually stayed. Okay.
Yeah, the pizza did stay. You're right. The pizza did stay. But, very interesting.
But then she like wanted the pizza to fall.
Yeah, no. And I just didn't understand like what was she trying to prove to us? Like she had good posture?
No, like she was doing it until the pizza fell. And it's like, but the point is for the pizza to stay.
Yeah, of course. You're not going to ruin
it's
good
fresh
pizza.
Pizza. I just didn't understand.
She was making no sense the whole time. And her vlogs were just like really irritating me, like cringy yeah. ass content. And I just think like I'm not convinced that she's here because Hannah Brown thinks they would be good together. Because the way that she's acting is like, I want more Instagram followers. Like she literally might as well have had a big sign on the Dodge Caravan on the side that says Heather is here
Martin.
For more Instagram followers.
Okay.
Follow me at Heather Martin.
In Heather's defense, because I must. We know her from Colton's season, and she did not seem like that type of person. So I want to say that she really is there because she thinks that Matt could be her person.
Showing up in the dead middle of a season is not a legitimate
and
way.
So I want to just blame Hannah Brown for not introducing them sooner. Like, I'm really trying to take this at face value that, like, Heather, I think, and Matt might actually be a good match, and he might be going and getting engaged. And this is her chance, like, this is her one chance to meet this guy that she thinks might be the right guy for her. But why didn't she go on night one?
I don't know, like everyone else.
She could have easily gotten
even
a spot.
The second wave of women, there was not
the
only
second
one.
Wave.
There were two times that she could have come on.
And I'm sure there are reasonable explanations for all of this. And I'm sure Heather is like reading the tweets and
kicking
and
herself.
Listening to the podcast. And it's like, no, you guys, you don't know what happened. Like,
tell us.
They made me. So I need to hear from her why she didn't go night one, why she didn't come in the second wave, why it had to be that way in that minivan.
Yeah. Well, she did say that it was like the last available car at the rental service.
Oh, did she?
She put up an Instagram.
Stop. Okay. Respect. But also, Nima Colin is so huge. Why didn't they let her quarantine on the grounds? Like, the fact that she had to drive herself.
Okay, wait. Can I say something?
In her gown?
Somebody DM'd me that they, like, know Nima Colin very well. And where Heather was staying, like, was fully in walking distance to the rose ceremony. But, like, producers made her get back in the minivan to drive to the rose ceremony.
It's like all the other girls, like, show up in a limo, night one. Elegance. Stepping out. Like, she probably had to, like, take her heels off.
Yeah, the fact that they literally couldn't even send her a car for her and she had to pull up in her own minivan, like, that was rude.
It was so rude. Like, the girls were, and also, we need to talk about the girls. Like, when will they learn that just this mean girl way is not the way to do things? Like, first of all, I think Heather is actually a nice person. It was nice of her to come and smile and wave. Like, when she couldn't get the door open, and they were like,
oh, God.
She was like, it was just so awkward. But it looks like the girls have a breakdown next week, that there's another girl here, and, like, that's just...
But this always happens. The girls who have breakdowns about, like, out, like, other girls are the girls who have literally no future with Matt. They have no relationship with Matt. They're just worried because, like, this girl could take their spot and they'll be going home sooner than anticipated. The girls with real connections, I can never remember her name. The teacher?
Michelle,
who I adore. Michelle doesn't worry about anyone. Bree doesn't worry about anyone. Rachel doesn't worry about anyone. It's all the girls who have literally no connection, who are hanging on by a thread. They're always the ones up in arms.
Yeah.
It's not the ones with true connections.
Yeah.
That's how you know.
Okay, what do you think Matt's going to do about Heather?
I mean, he's been such a pushover. Like, I really don't know. And I feel like he really respects Hannah Brown's opinion. Like, I feel like she might end up saying, but the only reason she wouldn't is, like, it's literally so late. There's 9 girls left. Like, it's really low.
And he has said, and this is, like, what happened when Nick Vile joined Caitlyn's season, he has said that, like, he thinks his wife is in this group. So if you think Heather could be your wife, then did you lie?
Right. No, it's such a good point.
I just am feeling, like, a little sorry for her, because I think from what we know about her, like, she is a nice, not really,
she's not a villain,
thirsty person. So I just wonder how she wound up in this situation.
It's so unlike her. Like, and what we know about her from her season was she was super quiet. She was pretty much relevant, except for the fact that she had never been kissed before and she had her first kiss on national television.
Yeah. And she didn't even go to Paradise.
Yeah.
So I'm just confused.
Also, like, is Paradise filming?
Yeah, I think they're going to do Paradise this year. I think they're going to do it at, like, a resort.
Why? Just, they never even leave the compound anyway.
No, I know. I think they'll have an easy time doing it.
Yeah, I actually love Paradise. That's, like, one show, like, I don't mind watching. Mm-hmm. The Bachelor, especially, like, at the end of the second
last
season,
night was so hard.
Becomes a chore.
I was looking at the clock the whole time, just wanting to go to sleep.
But I'm grateful for the minivan, because that really made things a lot more fun.
It did.
So that's our Bachelor recap. If you're looking for more Bachelor talk, the episode of The Snatchler
also, like Heather
is
said
out.
That Heather said that that was the last car in the lot. Like, I'm sure Bachelor producers and PAs went and rented every car at the rental company.
Yeah, of course.
To only
just so that
one.
The minivan. So if you're looking for more Bachelor content, The Snatchler, which is our Toast News Network Bachelor recap show hosted by our sister Margot, has a new episode out this week. And she does episodes every week on everything Bachelor Nation.
So in depth.
So head over to The Snatcher, available anywhere you get podcasts. And that's our show. Would you agree?
Yes. I think that is all that she had written.
Right,
honestly.
Like that was our show, right?
No.
It was
someone else's show.
Thank
you guys. That was Theo's show. Hope you enjoyed
it. So true. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, The Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. My book is available at girlwithnojob.com/book, anywhere you get books, audiobooks, or ebooks. Check it out. Thank you for all the love and support. I am an officially New York Times bestselling author. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm an international bestselling author as well. Hope you have an amazing day. Bye. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.